This is a story. It's a disturbing story. It's a wonderful story for one man, but it's a terrible story for another. Two men here in the story tells about one man had everything and another man didn't have anything. Both of them died apparently about the same time. One man went to heaven, the other went to hell. We'll start reading verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He said, If they won't listen to old-time preaching, they wouldn't listen to somebody if they come up out of the ground. Amen? That's right. I want to preach this morning a real simple, basic message on this, lessons of life. We've seen some of the greatest lessons about life in this horrible story here. Horrible story. This is not a parable. This is not one of those parables where Jesus said, life is like a man that went on a far journey, or life is like a man that built a barn, or life is like a man that went out to sow some seed. Jesus told a specific story about two men, and he named some people. He named Lazarus, Moses, and Abraham. And anytime he named people, it was a real life story, and it really took place. And this is a lesson of life. Life is a precious gift. Life is something that everybody wants to cling to. I guarantee you might say, you might get discouraged sometimes, and you might get depressed, and you might say, life's not worth living. Everybody gets that way once in a while in their life. I don't care who you are. Everybody gets that way. Just about everybody in the Bible's got that way before. But I guarantee you get real sick, and boy, you'll rethink that. You'll say, oh, God, I wish I could get better. Amen. You will. And, brother, listen, life is precious. It's natural to want to hang on to life. It's natural to want to live. Even if the quality of life's not good, you want to hang on. People in comas don't even know they're alive, and they'll struggle and try to live. Your body just keeps struggling to live. You see these movies where they shoot somebody. These old westerns, they shoot somebody off a horse and they're dead time and hit the ground, or they throw a knife and they hit a guy and he falls off a wall and he's dead and hit the ground. In real life, it ain't like that. Anybody that's raised on a farm or been around livestock and you have to put an animal down, it takes them a while to die. I've done it. I've watched them. I've watched people die and I've watched animals die. They don't die like that. Nobody dies instantly unless they're hit on sudden impact, on a sudden collision and just a trauma. It takes a little while to die. And, brother, that instinct, life, is something you struggle. Even an animal, they struggle to live. And there's something in you that God put in you. That's nature. You just want to hang on to life, and you want to try to keep living as long as you can. Life's precious. Even babies, when they're born and there's something wrong with them, and they struggle to breathe and they want to live. Brother, I'm going to tell you something about life. That's precious, and I'll tell you something. I'll give you some lessons that we see in this story this morning. You better take notice. This old-time Baptist preacher's trying to help you this morning. I ain't trying to hurt you. I ain't trying to be mean. I ain't trying to jump in your business. I ain't trying to run your life.
Listen, I'd do well to run my own life. I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to do something to tell you something that'll try to get you straight and try to help you, because life is precious, brother. First thing we see in this story, number one, you've got one life. You've got one. Don't waste it. You've got one life. Don't waste it. Invest it in something. What are you doing with your life that's worthwhile? Well, preacher, I'm having a good time, and I'm doing this. I'm talking about, what are you doing with your life that's worthwhile? This one man was, he spent his life, he fared sumptuously every day, and he lived it up, and he had plenty of money, and probably anytime you got plenty of money, you got plenty of women. You don't have to be pretty. You don't have to be good looking. If you got lots of money, you got lots of women. He probably had a lot of women, a lot of servants, a lot of money, and he fired something, had all kinds of food, all kinds of parties, had everything a man could possibly want, and he wasted his life. Amen? You've only got one life. What are you going to do with it? Listen, you don't get a do-over. Everybody hits over age 30 or 35. Once you hit 40, you realize that your life is swiftly going by. It's going by just like that. Job said, my life is like a weaver's shuttle. It's going and James said, life is like a vapor. It just goes up. And Job said, it's like smoke coming up off a fire. Life's going by so fast, you can't even... Listen, my daddy, you say, your life's going by faster. The older you get, the faster it goes. I thought, man, you're crazy. But it is. It's going so fast. Listen, I'm 54 years old. I don't know where my 20s went or my 30s. I don't even know where my 40s went. Y'all ain't saying amen because you know I'm telling you the truth. And you're stunned. You can't believe it yourself. When you're 20 years old, you're like, I'm just getting started. Bam, one day you wake up and you're 30. Life is going to be over before you know it. People don't like this kind of preaching. I know it. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You've got one life. Kids, you got one life. You got one shot at it. Do it right. Get it right. This man had everything. He had all kinds of money. He had everything anybody could want. And he wasted it. It's too late. Too late. Too late. You only got one shot. You don't get a do-over. Get in this altar and get right with God. Get saved. Get right with God. And live for Jesus. You only got one. Just one. Man, I wish I'd have got saved sooner. I got saved when I was 20. I wish I'd have got saved when I was a little kid and give my life to the Lord. Don't waste your life. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away on frivolous, wasteful. Don't throw it away on yourself. Having a good time and having wasting it on party and living on yourself and wasting it on having a good time and seeing how much fun you have here on this earth, because the next thing you know, it's going to be gone. It's going to be over. That man had all that money, but he died. Somebody else got it. You only got one life. So, preacher, I got my whole life ahead of me. Y'all heard us talk a while ago, actually. Had a wreck the other morning on her way to school. A deer come through her windshield, and it could have. It ended good, but it could have ended bad. Just as easily as it ended good, it could have easily, just as easily ended bad. It could have just as easily took the whole top of the car off and sent her in the front of a semi, and her mom and daddy not had a little girl anymore. Could have just as easily been gone. I ain't saying that to make her feel bad. I'm saying that to make her feel good and make her mom and daddy feel good. Because, brother, you're just here for a short time. I don't care how young you are and how you think you are. Bless God Almighty, you got one life, and it's going to be gone quick. It's going to be over with soon. You better get it right, brother. I don't care how young you are and healthy you are. You say, preacher, I'm as strong as Superman. That's all right. You might be. But one of these days, you won't even be strong as the underdog. Amen? Or Mighty Mouse. You go see them people in them nursing homes, and all they do is sit out there in that hallway, slumped over asleep. They was like you one day. Now their life's gone. Number two, it takes more than money to leave a good name behind. That's another thing we learn. We learn that this man was a rich man, and he had everything everybody could want. And he's mentioned in the Bible, the most famous book in the world that's ever been printed. The most famous book in the world that's ever been printed. but nobody knows who his name is. It takes more than money to leave a good name behind. But on the other hand, there was another man that laid out there at the garbage cans, and all he wanted was just some of the scraps, just some of the stuff that fell out of the trash can, and he didn't even get that. They had to get away from here, you beggar, you bum, and they'd throw the scraps out to the dog, and the dogs would lick his wounds. He had leprosy. He was a leper, and he had disease, and he laid around out there just hoping he'd get to eat some of the slop and some of the scraps, and the only comfort he got was when the dogs would lick him sores and make the sores feel a little bit better. Oh, but brother, listen, the Bible does record his name, and the Bible does say where he went. The Bible says his name was Lazarus, and when he died, glory to God, he went to heaven. He went to be with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the saints of God. It takes more than money to leave a good name. I don't know much about Lazarus, but I know he's a good man. He didn't have no money. He didn't have wealth, and he didn't have a house up in the mountains and a chateau in the mountains and a house on the beach. Boy, where he went was a whole lot better than what that other fellow left behind. It takes more than money to leave a good name. Let me give you an example. Let's compare two people that we both know. How many knows Michael Jackson? I know him. He was born the same year I was born. I didn't follow his career, but I know about his career because I've seen it on TV my whole life. I remember Michael Jackson as a little boy because I was a little boy at the same time. Michael Jackson started out as a little black boy, ended up a white woman. We don't know what he was. Strange, brother. He was a strange character. Michael Jackson had so much money, they couldn't even count it. They don't know what he was worth when he died. Michael Jackson had so much money, he asked Paul McCartney one time, one of the Beatles, he said, what would you do if you wanted to be so rich that you couldn't even count your money? Paul McCartney jokingly said, I'd buy all the Beatles records and all the rights to their money. You know, Michael Jackson went and done, he called his lawyers, he said, buy all the Beatles records, and he did. Paul McCartney didn't even know it. So when Paul McCartney, every time they played one of the Beatles records, Michael Jackson got paid for it. Does that not blow your mind? That's how much money Michael Jackson had. Now, brother, that is crazy. A man that caught his hair on fire in a Pepsi commercial and made himself white and look like Diana Ross. That takes more than money to leave a good name behind. Michael Jackson was so stinking rich, he'd get up at night at 3 o'clock in the morning and take his entourage and go somewhere out there in Beverly Hills, and then places would open up in the middle of the night, and he'd go shopping and buy something that looked like an elephant's ear and give $500,000 for it and go stick it up on his wall. That's Michael Jackson for you. He was so rich, he adopted a kid, nobody knows who his mama or his daddy's name was, and named it Blanket. Blanket. Not quilt. Not pillow. Blanket. You know what Michael Jackson's greatest? You know what his fantasy was? Who he wanted to be in life? Not John Wayne or Clint Eastwood. Peter Pan. That's what he wanted to be. He wanted to be Peter Pan. The greatest entertainer, they say, he sold more records than anybody in the history of the world. Worldwide, he sold more records than anybody ever. Now, can you think about it? I'm talking about somebody that had so much money, they couldn't count it. He made millions of dollars after he died. They took the thing where he rehearsed to do his last final tour, and then he died, and they made millions off of that. Not his tour, his rehearsal, they made millions. And him dead in the grave. But Michael Jackson was so miserable, he couldn't sleep at night. He had to get a doctor to put him under, like he's going into surgery at night. He was so miserable. But there used to be a little woman who used to come to our church and sit right there. A little woman used to sit right there. Never had a whole lot of money, never was rich, drove a little bitty red car around town. Anybody know her? Nobody in the world knew her. Her name was Alma Caden. Now tell me who had the better testimony. She died too. Now who had a better testimony, Michael Jackson or Alma Caden? Now listen, if you had to hold hands with somebody and walk down that corridor of death or walk down that valley to meet the Lord, would you want to hold Michael Jackson's hand or Al McCain's hand? I don't have to think about that question very much, bless God. I guarantee you. Listen, brother, Michael Jackson was so perverted, he slept with kids at night. He said, I can't think of anything more wonderful or more special than to sleep with children at night. And you know what made it so stupid? People take their kids to his house and drop them off. That's even crazier. God help. I'm saying it takes more than money. Al McCain wasn't a wealthy woman. But listen, brother, when Chica had her funeral, we were shouting her out, brother, having a glorious time. It takes more than money to leave a good name behind. Number three, death affects every level of life. You ain't going to escape it, and I ain't going to either. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. There's a date somewhere out there, and there's a calendar. There's a date. Your name's on it. There's one with my name on it. The famous die. People are not famous die. Everybody dies. Nobody gets around it. The young die. Old die. Wealthy die. I remember a preacher from North Carolina one time. He said he wasn't going to die, but he's going to. And everybody believes it, too. Everybody go out here and preach. And he said he's going to be alive at the rapture. So he was a kind of phenomenon. He was an inspiration to a lot of people. They'd hear he's going to be in revival, and they'd go here and preach. It was fascinating because they thought, man, the rapture's going to happen any day now because Brother Akers is going to be preaching right up here at Soul and Sunday Baptist Church. And they'd go here and preach. I went and heard him a couple times. We thought the rapture was going to happen in the 80s. He was 116 years old. He could preach, too. He said, I'm going to be alive when the rapture happens. Guess what happened, Brother Akers? He died. But he really will be alive at the rapture. That's the trick to that, because God sends Jesus Christ, his son, back after the church. Brother Akers is going to come back up out of there. He'll be alive. He wasn't lying. He is going to be alive. But everybody's going to die. Me, you, him, her, all of us. Life's like a landmine. We're just tiptoeing through it. One of these days, one of them's going to get us. Amen? It's like walking a tightrope. I saw one of these things, one of these documentaries. I'm like, Brother Jeff, I watch these documentaries a lot. I'd rather watch one of them than a movie. If it wasn't for the commercials, that's all I'd watch. And this guy showed this guy, the amazing whoever, the guy done them tightropes for his whole life, his family and his kids and grandkids. And finally, one day, he's doing one in New York City across one of the skyscrapers, and this gust of wind came out of nowhere and knocked him off and killed him in his 70s. Wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? He is doing his final balancing act between two skyscrapers. Death-defying the amazing Walinda, I think was his name, and he was doing this. And everybody's down there cheering. Bloop! Here he comes, crashing down and smashed like a mailer right in front of him. Oh, he never has fallen, and he's doing it without a net. Here he comes. Reckon this is part of his act? That was a good one. That looked real, didn't it? Yeah. Job 17 said he shall return no more to his house. Neither shall his place know him no more. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. You say, preacher, you're being awful negative. No, I'm not. One morning you're going to wake up and get ready. You're going to tie your shoes and somebody else will untie them. Ladies, one morning you're going to get up and put your makeup on and somebody else will take it back off. One of these days, ladies, somebody be fixing your hair, looking at a picture, doing this, putting your makeup on. Or your daughter's going to say, no, she didn't wear it like that. Mama didn't wear it. Debbie ran everybody out of the funeral home at her mama's funeral, run everybody out and slammed the door shut. She said, you ain't putting that slutty lipstick on my mama. Run us all out. So my mama never looked like a saloon girl and put lipstick on her mama. She said, you people's crazy. Right? It's going to happen to all of us. Some of the funeral director's going to look at my hair and say, I wonder how he wore his hair. My kids are going to say, he never parted his hair like that. I can tell by looking at some of you needed a little lighter moment there, so I'll spread that in. But the Bible said, 1 Chronicles 29:15, our days on earth are as a shadow. I used to think Mom and Daddy would always be there, Brother Sam. And I know you're the same way. Your daddy's gone, been gone the same length of time mine has. I know it feels like your mama's going to be here forever, but she won't be. My mama and daddy's gone. Yours is going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. My wife's going to be gone. Our kids will be here. And they'll stand up here and preach. I thought Daddy'd always be here, but he's gone now. I'm trying to prepare you for something and tell you this is a lesson of life. Both of these men, one was rich, one was poor, one was healthy, one was sick. But they both died. Death is no respecter of person. Number four, no kind of ceremony affects. No kind of ceremony after you die affects where you go. I remember. Do y'all remember when James Brown died? The reason I remember this, we lived in South Carolina. He's from up in that part of the country. He's from Aiken, South Carolina, which is just right up the road from where we used to live. And when he died, they made the biggest deal out of him. You know, the Godfather of Soul. Y'all know who I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, I feel good. I would do some of that stuff. That's probably why I'm all broke up now. He died December 25th in Atlanta Hospital. His body was placed in a crypt at Beach Island, where his daughters lived, till March 10th. They kept him alive for like 3 months, fussing and fighting over his estate. They run a funeral home bill up of $150,000. And Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton sitting up here on the stage at his funeral. You can see pictures of it on the internet. Ain't it funny how them two pop up every time someone of them, Michael Jackson, same with Michael Jackson, one of them stars, one of them perverts will die, and these two guys pop up. They ain't got nothing to do with the race. I'd say, I don't care what color they are. And they pop up, and these guys, what they sing about and the lifestyle they live, you know James Brown wasn't nothing but a drunken wife beater? Wouldn't pay his bills, wouldn't pay his taxes in the state of South Carolina, gave him clemency and forgave him all his debts. You think if I did that, they'd let me off the hook? No. Absolutely not. There's what I'm trying to say. When he died, they put on this big celebration, this big funeral, and this big party. But you know what? That didn't change one thing about where James Brown went when he died. I'm not saying he went to hell. I'm not saying he went to heaven. But once you die, brother, you're going somewhere. I don't care what kind of party they have for you, because that's just your old body laying there. And, brother, wherever you went, you went. And what they do after you're gone don't change that. You say, oh, we're going to have a party when you die? Well, good luck, because I'm going to be gone somewhere. I know where I'm going. I hope y'all have a camp meeting service when I'm gone, because I'm sure going to be having a good time. Ronald Reagan's funeral lasted a week. Y'all remember that? That's a good funeral. I enjoyed that. One of the last, probably the best president we've ever had. But that didn't affect where he went. I don't know where he went. I don't know his soul. I know mine. That's all I can count for. I'm trying to tell you something this morning. No kind of ceremony affects where you go. Oh, that's just the most wonderful service, preacher. I thank you. And I just feel so much better about him. And I can't help you. I've had people come to me. I want you just to say this and say that. I ain't doing it. I ain't never done it. And I ain't going to start now. I've had people try to get me to make the family. I'll try to comfort the family. But I ain't going to try to put them anywhere. I've talked to families before. Can you tell me of a time where he accepted Christ? Or do you know if he's saved? Well, I'm a preacher. I don't really know. Well, I ain't putting him in heaven. He didn't leave a testimony. I sure ain't going to put him there. Amen. Number five, when you die, everything you live for, you leave behind. Listen to this. I'm going to close in just a minute. Why don't you listen to this real good? The smartest man that ever lived, he's smarter than you and me and everybody. Other than Jesus, Solomon was the wisest man ever lived. He said this, he said, therefore I hated life because the work that it wrought under the sun is grievous unto me for all his vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon was the richest man ever lived. He said, yeah, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. Here's why. Look up here. Because I should leave it unto the man that should be after me. He looked around and saw all the land he had and all the crops and the palace and all those wives and all his mother-in-laws. I wouldn't hate leaving him behind. He saw all that stuff he had built. And he said, somebody else is going to have it. I ain't going to be here forever. All the stuff I've lived for and spent my life on, it goes back to that old saying I said a while ago, I ain't going to take it with me. You realize this morning, come on, Ronnie. You realize this morning, men, I've said this over and over, and people look at you like you're crazy, but You realize this morning that bed you sleep in at night, someday somebody else is going to sleep in that bed? You really don't think if you die that your wife's going to burn your house down, do you, and go buy her another one? She'll remarry and somebody sleep in your recliner, sleep in your bed, eat at your table. Preacher, don't say that. That's depressing. It might be, but it's the truth. Life goes on, brother. What Solomon is saying is, I've wasted my life on stuff. Everything you live for, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. We talked about that in Sunday school. It's not that stuff is a sin as long as you don't put that in and of itself. That's not what gives you peace and contentment and joy. That new truck, nothing wrong with a new truck or a new car or a new boat or a new four-wheeler, but that ain't, if that's what you spend your life for, when you die, somebody else is going to have all that stuff. As long as you spend your life and your goal and your number one goal and your affection is for the Lord Jesus Christ and all other stuff secondary, you don't care about that. It's nice to have it, but so what? Then when you die, you didn't really lose nothing because it's temporary anyway. It's just a car, it's just a truck, just a house, somewhere to live till I leave here. Then when you do leave, you ain't lost nothing. But if that's all you live for, when you do leave, you've lost it all, brother. You've lost it all because somebody else is just going to step right in your place and just going to keep right on going. When old Donald Trump dies and Bill Gates and all them guys, somebody else is going to step right in and take their money and their stuff and just keep right on going with it. And the last thing I want you to notice in this story is this. When you do leave here, there ain't but two places to go. It ain't a multiple choice. You realize today that if you leave here, like Ashley left for school the other morning, had that wreck, that deer hit her, bam. She didn't see it come and have time to pray and pull over and read her Bible, just come out of nowhere. You realize if you leave here this morning and you don't make it home and get killed, or maybe you go home tonight, go to bed, get up tomorrow, start to work, something happens, you get killed or anything. There ain't two places to go. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And these two men right here, it goes to show you one was right with God and one wasn't, and the choice is up to you. I can't make it where I get up here and preach my lungs out every Sunday. I can't make you get saved. I can't make you get right with God. All I can do is offer it to you, and if you want it, take it, and if you don't, if you go to hell, I can't help it. I hate it. I can cry over you, and I can beg you, but I can't make you take it. Ain't two places. There ain't no in-between place where you can stop and get a plea bargain and get a second shot. You know, the Roman Catholics teach there's a purgatory where they punish you, and your family can give the priest a bunch of money and get you out, and that ain't true. Nothing in the Bible about that. They made that up so the Roman Catholic Church can make money off rich people, deceive people. The Bible don't teach it. So if you want to get in, you better get in, brother and sister. Young man, young lady, you better get in. You better learn something from his story because that man had all that money. He never thought about the afterlife. He was set up for life. That old beggar laying out there around the trash can. He thought, man, life ain't got a whole lot for me, but when he left here, he sure had something waiting on him on the other side. Amen. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed.